And let's go to the book of Galatians. We're going to continue our study here this morning. Galatians chapter 1, and I am going to read verses 13 through 18 here this morning. Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And actually, I'm going to have it up here on the screen too. So, starting with verse number 13 from the book of Galatians. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. He says this, "For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. Let's have a word of prayer here this morning. Father, as we continue this study here in the book of Galatians, let me be able to successfully expound these verses here this morning, to bring out the truths that you want us all to understand here this morning, and to learn a little bit more about your word, a little bit more about this apostle, and a little bit more about the people at the church in Galatia. And in doing so, Lord, maybe we all learn a little bit more about ourselves. As always, you get the glory, and I thank you for all that you have done, especially sending Jesus into this world. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We are in this expository study of the book of Galatians. And since we have missed over 2 months, 9 weeks to be exact, since I preached last on this book, I want to do just a quick review of what we have covered in our study on the book of Galatians. Week number one, we talked about the fact that Paul was not sent by men. We know this. We learned this in week number one. The Apostle Paul wrote this book. He wrote it to warn the people in the churches at Galatia, which was four different churches, about false teachers and about false doctrine. And number three, Paul wants to make sure the people know that he is an apostle sent by God, something we're going to talk about more today. Week number two, peace with a purpose. The people have been set free from their sins. He wanted to make sure that they knew that, and they should praise God for the provision that God had bestowed upon those there. Week number three, interesting. In less than five years after this church had been formed, the churches in Galatia were already beginning to embrace, not only hear, but embrace false doctrine. It doesn't take long. Week number four, missing pieces. We were talking about this. An incomplete gospel cannot save anybody. We must preach the complete gospel. What's the complete gospel? Both grace and law need to be preached. If not, if you just preach one side or the other, there are missing pieces, and that's not a complete gospel. And incomplete gospels don't save anybody. Week number five, the favor of men. Paul said this, those false teachers wanted to gain the favor of men. And on contrary to that, and those who desire the favor of men, Paul said this, they are not servants of Christ. We talked about that week number five. And then the last week that we were here, March the 15th, a revelation to Paul. We talked about this. We brought 4 points up. All the writings of Paul have authority, because he received a personal revelation from God, actually a personal revelation from Jesus. And Paul's teachings are that of Jesus himself. So that's kind of a recap of where we are, quickly going through the first 6 weeks that we've talked about. But that brings us to today. And today, the title of today's message is A Transformed Man. And this message actually complements week number 6 that I gave back on March the 15th. So if we were going to say this, we would probably look at the Apostle Paul and say this: Paul, whatever you do, don't upset the apple cart. Don't make waves in the synagogue. Don't make waves with the people who don't like the C word. What's the C word? They don't like change. Don't change anything, Paul. They are comfortable with their Jewish ways, with their Jewish laws, being taught and instructed by their Jewish teachers. Don't mess with that, Paul. Don't mess with that. But the Apostle Paul is introducing a new teaching and a new path of salvation. And he's teaching this to all these churches in Galatia that he founded. And sometimes this teaching of the Christ, this long-awaited Messiah, is embraced with open arms. Finally, the Messiah is here. Please tell me more about this Messiah. And sometimes this teaching of the Messiah is met with very fierce opposition. And what Paul wants to do is this: in these verses, he wants to continue to defend his calling and his ministry, so his words will have authority. So we've already said this. Paul's defense, he says this in Galatians 1:12. He says that he received direct revelation for his teaching by Jesus Christ himself. Galatians 1:12. And Galatians 1:1, we talked about this the first week. He says, I was not sent by man. He was sent through Jesus Christ, he says. So this is part of his defense. We're going to look at more of his defense today. And this is where the people in the churches at Galatia and us, we really come to a crossroads. We come to a fork in the road. Do we believe his credentials or not? Did the people at Galatia and other churches believe his credentials or not? If they are believed, if we do believe him, we move on accordingly. And we learn from the deep truths that he's going to proclaim, not only in this book, but all the epistles. And if they are not believed, then we remain in our own belief system. And our own belief system is one that really has no hope. Personally, I believe the Apostle Paul, because I believe that this is the inspired word of God. You do know that there are people today who will dismiss everything that Paul wrote. And they will say the only words that have any authority are the words of Jesus in the Gospels. Well, Paul seems to tell us a different story, and he tells us that here in the book of Galatians. Well, this morning, I'm going to unpack these verses that we have here today. In verses 13 and 14, I'm going to talk about his admission. In verses 15 and 16, I'm going to talk about his recommission. And in verses 17 and 18, I'm going to talk about his intermission. And yes, I had to look far and wide to find three words that had the word mission in them. But by golly, I found them. First, let's talk about his admission. His admission. What is an admission? According to Webster, definitions up here, it's also in your bulletin, an admission is an acknowledgement of the truth of something. The truth of something. I've been saying this for quite a while. The truth isn't always easy, but it does matter, and it will set you free. I've been saying that all along. The truth will do that. And one of the most difficult tasks for a human being is to admit that they have done something, what? Wrong. That they have done something wrong, or they have said something wrong, or they have believed something wrong. If you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? You do. Adam blamed God, didn't he? Blamed God. And then Adam blamed the woman, that woman you gave me. And then what did Eve do? She blamed who? The snake. He blamed the serpent. It's the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. Admitting the truth when the truth is painful is a difficult thing for a human being to do, because it's not part of our human nature to do that. Because our human nature says we don't want to admit to doing anything wrong. But that's exactly what Paul is doing here in verse number 13. He says this. He's telling the Galatians, "You have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." And he's telling the people, he is admitting this. And that's what Paul did. We know that he did that. We remember the story from Acts chapter 7 where Stephen was martyred at the feet of Paul, actually Saul. And he understands that he cannot what? Change anything that we've ever done, can we? Oh boy. Sometimes, don't you wish you had a time machine and could just go back and say, man, I wish I could have just done that a little bit different, or not said that to that person, or whatever the case may be. But Paul realizes one thing. I did it, and I can't change it. And then he continues that in verse number 14 when he says this, "And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." So what was Paul's admission? We see that there in these two verses. So what was his admission? And that's our first fill in the blank. What was his admission? Paul admitted that his zeal for Judaism drove him to persecute the church, this new thing called the Way. People who were following this man called Jesus. He loved the law. Paul loved Judaism. He loved the traditions of men. He loved enforcing what he believed to be right. And how dare anybody out there, especially these untrained fishermen, introduce new teachings that are contrary to the law. Even this man called Jesus, the Nazarene, who has a rather questionable birth. Okay? We have certain beliefs too, don't we? And I understand that. We have beliefs about the way we keep house. Okay? I came to an understanding of that very early on in my marriage. That my way of keeping house and my wife's way of keeping house were not the same. Guess who won that one? It wasn't me. Okay? But we have certain beliefs about the way we keep house. We have certain beliefs about how we should raise our children. And we have certain beliefs about this issue or that issue. We also have certain beliefs about biblical issues, and we take stands on those issues. And I know that I certainly do. So have you ever, and this is just something I want to write up here in rather large words, have you ever had a change in belief about a biblical issue because the Word of God was convicting you otherwise? Well, I know that I have, and we certainly know that Paul has too. I thought one way about a biblical issue until I heard some sound Bible preaching and I matured in my faith. And finally, I came to a point where I just couldn't disagree with what they were saying, and I had to disagree with what I formerly believed. And I had to believe, well, this is what the scriptures teach. And that's part of the growing process that we all go through. We all come to those points in time where we say, you know, for the longest time I believed this, but you know, I think this is really what the scriptures are teaching. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. He had what we call in him literally a Damascus Road experience. We find that in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. He had an encounter with Jesus himself. And this encounter changed his heart and it changed his mind. It actually changed him from Saul into Paul. Changing of hearts and changing of minds. You know, that's kind of what Jesus does. He transforms people. Amen? That's kind of what he does. He's really good at transforming people. So with that in mind, let's move to Paul's recommission. Not commission, a recommission. I wanted to use that word. What is a recommission? Well, the definition, Webster's definition says this. A recommission is to appoint or assign to a task or function a second time. Paul was first commissioned by his fellow Jewish leaders to persecute the church. Persecute those people who are following this thing called the way. And he was told and he was compelled to destroy it. That's what he wanted to do. Again, we see that in verse number 13. But now he is being recommissioned. So how does that recommissioning happen? He says this, and he tells us this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16a. He says this, but when God, great way to start off. But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. So how did Paul get recommissioned? Our second fill in the blank. God set him apart from his mother's womb. That's what he says. That's what the scriptures teach. And folks, now we're going to get into some pretty deep doctrine. And this is where our theological truths are going to go deep. And yes, they may differ. This is where we must, because when you talk about verses like this, this is where you must talk about the sovereignty of God and you must talk about divine election. Not a popular topic in churches today and not a popular topic among Christians today. I spoke earlier about biblical issues that I once believed one way and then over a period of time I had a change of heart and this is certainly one of them. And I want to explain this issue to you here this morning of what happened to Paul in the most simplest, in the most sincere, and in the best biblical way that I can. And I'll start off by saying this. Actually, let's talk about pre-corona days. In America, we have many freedoms, okay? I'm not going to talk about the last 9 weeks, okay? I'm not going to do it. I'll just admit something to you right now. This past week was not a good week. The last thing I want to talk about, and this is it, no more, is COVID-19. That's it. In America, we have many freedoms, don't we? I love this country. We have many freedoms. We can do most anything we want within the scope of the law. We have something called volition, which means we have the ability to choose. We do. We can move anywhere we want. We can move from Nelson County to another state, to another country if we choose. We can eat at any restaurant. We can choose any food that we want. We can choose where we want to shop, either at a store, online. We have those freedoms of choice. And for the most part, those choices are only limited by whatever our resources may be. But what about God? What about God? What does God teach us about? What does the Word of God teach us about God? I read Psalm 135 this morning, and verse number 6 was stuck right in the middle of that. And verse 6 tells us that God is sovereign. whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all the deeps. I like that. Because what that tells me is this: God is in control. Because if there were other influences, then God would no longer be God. But he is, and he does what he pleases. There are many people today who will stand firm on the fact God is in control. Sometimes I wonder if they really believe that, because these same people who will say God is in control will deny the sovereignty of God and that he can do whatever he pleases. But he can do whatever he pleases, because he says he can do whatever he pleases. There are usually two reasons. I want to put two reasons up here. People struggle with the sovereignty of God. I struggled with it for years. For years I struggled with it. What are the two reasons people struggle with the sovereignty of God? Number one, because they can't quite grasp the concept, because it is a concept that is so far above us that it was just difficult for me to handle that and grasp it. But when it becomes a little on the unsafe side is number two, because they think God's sovereignty is an infringement on their freedom of choice. Well, and I understand that too. I understand that I have choices. But it's a divine concept. And we don't know all the secret things of God. And they just don't want to believe in God's sovereignty, because it's an infringement on their choice. And I understand that, because I've been there. I've walked those paths. But the bottom line is this. Sometimes, people, we fail to let God be God. I want to let God be God. Especially now, I want to let God be God. Because right now, that's all I have. That's all I have. But sometimes we fail to let God be God, or maybe we just don't want God to be God. Maybe we want him to be just like us. We want to humanize him. Well, God addresses that. Psalm 50, verses 21 and 22. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. So what's he going to do with people who think that he is just like us? I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you in pieces and there will be none to deliver. Those are some powerful words, but we do humanize God too often. And there's another verse that I'd like to bring to our attention. It's Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And it says this. We've used this verse so many times in here, and we all know this one. God says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Pretty self-explanatory. I don't try to figure God out sometimes. I just enjoy allowing him to be God. One more. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. God's word says this, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the sea, from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it." In Acts chapter 9, verses 13 through 16, we're introduced to a man called Ananias. And Ananias is familiar with this man named Saul because he knows Saul is there to persecute the church and to destroy Christianity and even to kill people. And the Lord is asking Ananias to go find this man called Saul because he's over here on Straight Street, and you do what I'm going to tell you to do. Well, Ananias, he's a little scared of this, and he says, well, Lord, I've heard of this guy. He's dangerous. And the Lord responds, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Do we want to know what happened to Paul? This is exactly what happened to Paul. God set him apart from his mother's womb for God's purpose and for God's good pleasure. Because that's what the Bible teaches. And I have to sit back and ask myself, who am I to argue with what the Word of God says or with the actions of God? Who am I to argue with God's plan or with God's good pleasure? I can't do that. In Romans chapter 9, verse 20 says this, will the clay talk back to the potter and tell the Lord, you can't do that? Not me. So Paul has now become a new creation in Christ. Not by his choice, but by a divine decree from God, because it's his will and it's his good pleasure, and Paul is now a chosen instrument. But now for Paul, it's now become a two-way street. Not only does Paul himself need to relearn all his doctrine and his theology, because the only thing he knew was what Judaism and the traditions of elders taught. But now he's on a mission not only to learn that, but now he's on a mission to change other people because of this same word of God. And that leads us from his admission to his recommission to his intermission. So what is an intermission? An intermission is an interval between periods of activity. Okay? And we see that intermission in verses 16 and 17. Starting with verse 16. God's word says this. God was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not, and here's where it gets interesting. Paul says this. I did not immediately consult with flesh or blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. He says this, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. You know, if we went back to the book of Acts, and if that's all we had was the book of Acts, it says that there were those who wanted to take Paul's life after his conversion. They knew that he was converted. Even the Jews in Damascus wanted to take his life. And if we remember the story, Paul was lowered in a basket outside the walls of Damascus so he could escape. And where does he go from there? If we only had the book of Acts, it appears he immediately goes to Jerusalem. But he doesn't, because he said he didn't go up to Jerusalem until 3 years later. But our text in here in Galatians gives us a little more history. Before Paul ever went to Jerusalem, which is in verse 18, he spent 3 years in Arabia and Damascus. This was Paul's intermission. And what is an intermission? It's an interval between periods of activity. So what is the purpose of his intermission? And let's go to our third fill in the blank. The purpose of Paul's intermission was for Paul to let everyone know that he was neither trained by nor sent from men. Something that he said earlier in the gospel. And he needs to make sure the people know this. Why is this so important? Well, we must get back for his defense for his ministry. And he says this. His defense is that he says, hey, I'm an apostle. I am one who has been directly trained and sent directly by Jesus himself. I was trained in Arabia in Damascus for 3 years. Isn't that something? He was trained for 3 years, and that was the same amount of time that who walked with Jesus? His disciples, and they were trained for 3 years. Same amount of time they spent. Had Paul gone immediately to Jerusalem after his conversion, everyone would say that he was trained by men. But as one who is critical in the foundation of the church, one who has written 13 of the epistles and books in our Bible, he would lose credibility if he would say that he was trained by men. But what can he say? He says that he was trained by Jesus and sent by Jesus himself. So let's conclude our three missions here. Paul makes an admission of a blemished past. And God, and Paul states his recommissioning because he said he was set apart by God for God's purpose, his plan, and his good pleasure. Then Paul takes a 3-year intermission to prove that his calling, his training, and his apostleship are all from Jesus himself. And I believe if Paul's going to make a case for the authority of his teaching, this is a very good case for his authority found right here in these pages of scripture here in the beginning of the book of Galatians. My friends, I'll conclude with this. The truth isn't always easy, but it does matter, and it will set you free. Let's pray.